I should have been a leash kid. Do you guys know what I'm talking about when I say a leash kid? Yeah, maybe you're at the park or the zoo or the grocery store and you turn the corner and then all of a sudden, there it is. Small child, somewhere in the neighborhood of 3 to 7 years of age, attached to their parent by a leash, right? Usually trying to be disguised as like a little backpack, right? There's like a little elephant or a monkey or something because cute, cuddly creatures distract us from the fact that that child is on a leash, you know? I saw one last week. I was sitting with some friends of mine outside on the patio at a restaurant at a neighborhood in town where lots of people are about walking around. And then there's this family that comes, a mom and a couple kids, one little boy's in the stroller, and one little boy is walking along with his little gray and green backpack, sneak attack, leash kid on the scene. And I wasn't able to snipe a picture of it. I really wanted to, but I was too slow. So instead, I went to the internet, and I found a few pictures of leash kids that I would like to share with you now. This is a child on a leash, right? In what must clearly be an advertisement for said leash, because no kid has ever had that much fun being attached to dad's wrist, right? Check the next one. Here's what I love about this kid, right? He knows that he's got to compensate for the fact that he's on a leash. So he's just coming all attitude, Mardi Gras beads, binky, just working it, you know? He doesn't care that he's on a leash. He pretends like he can't even see those grown-ups. I respect that. I think that's great. Okay. Yes, this girl's leash might be attached to a parking meter, but it's okay. She has snacks, right? She's fine, you know? I just hope that her grown-ups come back before the meter maid does, because I would imagine that's a pretty hefty parking ticket, right? All right, next one. Okay, please note that the child is on a leash and the woman is carrying a dog. That just doesn't make any sense, right? I looked at this picture long and hard, and the only thing I could think of is the fact that the dog's legs are shorter than the child, so maybe he'd have a harder time keeping up. I don't really know. But in case you thought that she was the only one, oh no. Okay. There is no way that that child weighs more than that dog. There's just no way. All right, check the next one. Okay, I so relate to this kid, okay? I was that kid, minus the leash, who was so bored at the store. Now, before we judge mom here, let's keep in mind that laundry detergent is a very serious decision, right? There are a lot of options. Do you want powder or liquid, bleach, fragrance-free? I mean, that's serious business. And I really appreciate how this kid is cool, right? She's just chilling, patiently waiting, watching the clouds float by above the Walmart ceiling. She's fine. It's good. Let's just take a minute to imagine what the people in this photo might be thinking, okay? There's the guy walking the dogs, who, by the way, you should note, has more dogs on his t-shirt. What's that about? Okay. He's probably thinking, whoa, look at that kid on a leash, right? Or wait, maybe I'm the weird one. Maybe I should get a kid instead of these dogs? I don't know. The kid's probably thinking, whoa, look at those dogs on leashes. It's so weird. Wait. Maybe I shouldn't be on a leash? And the guy who's walking with the child, I'm sure he's thinking, man, that guy sure has some ugly kids. Now, before anyone starts a letter-writing campaign, all right, either singing the praises of putting small humans on leashes or shutting it all down because what kind of person would actually put their child on a leash, let me just say I am neither pro nor anti-kid leash, okay? Since I don't have any kids yet, I'm obviously an expert on parenting, but I am not making any judgments or decisions on this one tonight. I'm just saying that I should have been a leash kid, right? And I'm sure there are some of you in the crowd tonight who are former leash kids. That's cool. We're glad you're here. Or some parents in the crowd, maybe, whose children have graduated from leashes, you know? Or some youth ministers who wish that they could put their group here on leashes for the duration of the weekend. Yeah. I just know that that was me, okay? I should have been a leash kid because I was always one of those kids who was just wandering off, you know? Not because I was up to anything particularly exciting or trying to give my parents a heart attack or anything like that. I just always thought that I was bigger and more independent than I really was, you know? If I got it in my head that I was going to do something, I just did it. Like, I just went and did it. I probably started as soon as I could walk. I know it continued throughout my childhood. For example, once when I was about 5 years old, I was in the backyard hanging out, and then I got it in my head that the backyard was just too small, too boring, and I wanted to go to the park. So I hopped on my bike and left. Okay, I don't know if you know any 5-year-olds, but that is way too young to be going off by oneself, right? Can you imagine if you're babysitting, maybe, and the 5-year-old takes off? You think the parents would just be cool with that, with you letting a 5-year-old go? No. So I'm off at the park, I'm having a great time, and then my mom realizes that I'm not in the backyard anymore and loses it, and rightfully so. She started trying to think about what I was wearing that day and trying to think of what was her most recent photo of me, and she was in her car driving around the neighborhood, I'm a horrible child, looking for my bike on the side of the road, sure that I'd been snatched, and she was about to call the police to go look for me when I just came casually strolling down the street because my playtime had ended. I decided, yeah, I should have been a leash kid, okay? Or how about the time when I was in third grade and we're on a class field trip to the zoo? And this time it wasn't my mom that had the heart attack, but the room mom who was chaperoning the group who suddenly realized I was missing because we were in the reptile house. And I remember very clearly that I was looking at this snake in this case, and I was just thinking about a snake's life, you know? Where do they come from? How does this guy spend his day? How thick is this glass that's protecting me from being eaten alive, right? The kind of questions that Harry Potter asks when he goes to the zoo. And suddenly, I come to and realize that I have lost my grown-ups. And so I freaked out a little bit, but not as much as the mom who had lost me. And so when I made my way outside the reptile house doors and rejoined the group, man, I might as well have been on a leash the rest of the day, okay? Because that mom was not letting me out of arm's reach until we were back on school property, and I was no longer her responsibility. That's me. I've always been that kid. And since I'm getting married in just over a month to a, yeah, I know. Thanks, I worked really hard on that. Thank you. Since I'm getting married in just over a month to a wonderful, incredibly handsome, very Catholic man who shares my same spirit of wanderlust, I'm thinking that at some point over the next couple years, we might need to invest in something like this. I mean, I'm just saying, if our kids come out anything like us, that could really come in handy, okay? I mean, hey, we all started out as leash kids, right? At least for the first 9 months, anyway. We were literally attached to mom's side, you know? It's one of the first questions that gets asked in a delivery room. Would you like to cut the cord? And I'll say there's a new baby in my family. My brother and his wife just had their first child about 5 weeks ago. And shortly thereafter, my brother decided that if his son comes out anything like me, the aunt, then they might want to start the leash training pretty early. I mean, look at those eyes, okay? That kid is a flight risk if I have ever seen one. Kid leashes, they're a thing, okay? And why? Why do we need such things in our lives? Well, that's easy. It's because of who we are. We've all gone astray, like sheep without a shepherd, as Jesus says. Although, if I may be so bold, I might pause and ask if he's one to talk, because I'm sure that if Jesus had been a leash kid, then we could have avoided that whole lost in the temple scene, you know? Like, there's not a person in this arena who isn't prone to wander, and I'm not just talking about at the park or the zoo. We've all been guilty of trying to do our own thing and not do what God is asking us to do. And God knows that, right? It all started with Adam and Eve, who chose the fruit of the tree, even though God said if they ate it, they would die. And it continued throughout the scriptures, from pharaohs to Pharisees, and throughout our history, too. It's why we've seen things like war and abortion and slavery and poverty. Over and over again, we choose to do our own thing rather than listen to the God who loves us. But God is a good, good Father who is perfectly well aware of how well his children are behaving or not. But rather than put us on leashes and drag us along to where we don't want to go, he shepherds us instead. And throughout the scriptures, there's a lot to learn about who God is and our relationship with him through the shepherd images that he employs. In John's gospel, Jesus says, he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. I think one of the easiest lies for us to fall into is that God is not personal, that he doesn't really know or see or care about us. But God isn't something big and unfathomable out there. No, he's here. He's here with you now. And when there are 100 sheep in a field and one of them goes missing, and it's you, Christ, our good shepherd, goes out after you. He doesn't hesitate to leave the 99 for you, because he knows your name and is calling out to you. And I'm not sure what kind of relationship you're in with the shepherd. I know I've been Catholic my whole life, and while I was growing up, I heard this same kind of stuff all the time. I was, in a sense, a Catholic leash kid before, right? I followed the rules of God because I was told to. I went to a Catholic school because that's where my parents sent me. I went to Mass on Sunday because they said I had to, okay? I was that sheep locked up in a pen. And if I had kept up with that for much longer, I probably would have started looking for an escape, because I always thought that I was bigger and more independent than I really was. Because my life at that point was pretty boring, and I wanted more than that. More from my faith, more from my God, more from all of it. And back then, I needed to be on a leash, because on my own, I probably would have gone to places that weren't good for me to go. There's so many options in high school, in college. You know, who are you going to associate with? How will you spend your time? Who will your friends be? What will your relationship with God look like? And I understand the temptation to leave God behind, either when things don't go our way, or we feel like God has abandoned us, or we think we can handle it all on our own and we don't need him, or that desire to break loose because the rules don't feel like freedom. Church can sound like a lot of God says no to this and don't do that, right? Freedom sounds like I go wherever I want to go, I do whatever I want to do, nobody telling me how to live my life. But sheep locked up in a pen don't have a lot of freedom. They can't go anywhere. They can't really see anything. They're limited to the space within their four walls. And that's not the kind of life that our God is calling us to. I didn't care about my faith until the summer before my freshman year of high school. And then I had the chance to go on a retreat. And I didn't really want to go, but a couple friends had been convincing enough, so I gave it a shot. And as the retreat began, it was just okay. It sounded a lot like the same old God stuff I'd always heard in religion class. Until the Saturday night, when I was led through an activity that focused in on Good Friday and the Stations of the Cross. Now, this was a story that I knew pretty well, as I'm sure you do too, because we've been hearing it our whole lives. But as I genuinely prayed through those stations, for probably the first time in my life, the Holy Spirit hit me with the reality that Jesus is not just a character in a story, but a real person who really lived and really died in a horrible way, but rose again and lives now. And his number one priority is to be in relationship with us, with you, with me. That while he was going through all of that on the cross, your face flashed across his mind. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. Good Friday isn't just a story about a guy who went up a hill and died. It's personal. He leaves the 99 to come after you. And once I had a real encounter with Jesus the summer before my freshman year, I started hearing the voice of the Good Shepherd in my own life. I made a decision. I decided that if he had died for me, then I was going to have to live for him. And so I started trying to be the person that I knew he was calling me to be. And I heard his voice through the scriptures, through my youth minister, through the praise and worship music at my church, through the time I spent with him in Eucharistic adoration. With the Lord as my shepherd, there is nothing that I lack. Nothing that I need. He's taking care of everything for me. When I'm tired, my life is confusing or hectic, I know that he gives me rest. And he protects me from my enemies, shows me the best path. No matter what comes at me, I know my God is there to protect me, to keep me safe. I know that with him, there's nothing to fear. And with the Lord as my shepherd, my life has become so much more than I ever dreamed it could be. Throughout high school and college, him walking with me made everything better. Led me to travel great places throughout my college years. Led me to a job in ministry that I love. Led me in the way I interact with my family, which is getting bigger and better all the time. In all aspects of my life, my good shepherd is giving me more. And I promise you that if I had gone my own way, I would have gotten lost or bored or been in real danger. I know that answering the call of Christ the good shepherd can sound a lot like you're giving up tons of fun to follow a guy who doesn't know anything about life in 2015. But Jesus didn't come to give us rules, to sentence us to the kind of lives that would bore us to death. No. He came to give us life, and life abundantly. And he's calling you out of the pen and onto the hillside where he makes you bigger and braver than you ever thought you could be. This weekend is an invitation to follow him to a place that you have never been before, whether that's to walk with him for the first time or follow him to new heights. If you think that Jesus is just here to give you rules, then you've got the wrong shepherd. He's coming to give you life, and he won't drag you out on a leash. He'll just call you by name. And it's up to you to listen to him and follow him to take those steps to a place where you can forgive that person who's hurt you so badly because of Christ in you. Or speak up at a lunch table where everybody is ripping on the same person and you're the only one there to defend them. Or invite your dad to Mass next Sunday, or your mom, or your siblings, whoever is the scariest. Jesus is calling you. He's counting on you. He left the 99 for you so that you could go out after the one. And I don't know if it's hard for you to hear him. I think it is in a world as chaotic as ours. But if you could hear him now, you'd hear him shouting for joy that you've taken the time to be here and answered his call. This weekend is personal. There may literally be thousands of us gathered here, but if you were the only one, Christ would be calling your name just the same. He's got something to say this weekend to each one of us. So let's listen for him now as we pray together.